shall explode.
This is Wheels on Fire, an absolutely fabulous podcast. I'm Peter.
And I'm Cooper.
And I'm Leo. In this end of season reunion special, we're having a revival of season one and rounding off our first season with outtakes, reflections, and some bonus content. This is the Wheels on Fire season one
revival.
It's a revival.
Hey boys, how we doing? We good?
Good, good. How are you?
Good. Very well. We are joined by Satellite Link today with Peter.
Before we get to season two, we thought it would be a good opportunity to just look back at what we covered in season one. There were some bits that we missed. There were some outtakes that didn't make it into the initial cuts, but I think they're worth listening to. And this is a good opportunity. What?
Just thinking, I'm just like trying to remember all the stupid stuff that I might have said over the weeks.
I might include some of the like things you told me first time round I wasn't allowed to put in, Pete.
Oh yeah, do that again, then we'll see how season two goes.
When you were like, don't put that in, make sure that doesn't go in.
Remember when he got that? The record.
I think a good place to start this revival episode is to look back at something that kicked off AbFab, which we haven't really talked about or looked at yet, and that is the original sketch that was in French and Saunders season three, was it?
And this was requested by one of our listeners, and if I was better, I would have looked up who it was because I can't remember, but somebody did ask us to cover this.
Actually, it was a few people who messaged to say that we should cover that original sketch from French and Saunders, so we should have a look at that. The original sketch that was in French and Saunders, I think it was season three, is it called Mother and Daughter? Is that the name of the sketch?
It's called Mother and Daughter, yeah.
And so in the sketch, Dawn French is playing the daughter. She's still called Saffron.
Yes.
And Jennifer Saunders is playing the mum, who in the skit is called Adriana.
Adriana.
So weird. Yeah. Sit next to Adriana.
Come sit here, Pushkin. Here, Adriana, here.
It's just so strange because it's sort of like the cat. It's sort of like Eddie, but just not. It's like alternate universe.
She seems really like more posh,
if that's
yes,
the word.
She's more much like, more. She's posh. More of a toff.
Total toff, but wants to be down with the kids.
It's like
I don't know.
It's like the energy of the scene has got the same DNA as what AbFab became.
Yeah,
but it's like a different species.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Are you happy, Pushkin?
Just so called Safi Pushkin, which just
yeah. Pushkin is like weird,
awful.
There are a lot of bits in that skit that actually make it into later episodes or become whole like storylines and stuff like that. It's quite funny to pick them out.
She mentions, I think, the first kind of scene, she mentions some names. I'm sure Bettina's in there.
Bettina, she mentioned Bettina and her Adonis son. And she mentions that Jean-Pierre's coming to the party.
Jean-Pierre's yes. there, yeah, Jean-Pierre. For sure. Jean-Pierre. So
Jean-Pierre must have been like written as the love interest right early. That was maybe their idea in season one, that Eddie had this bloke on the firm in the background called Jean-Pierre, which then never really got, never went anywhere in the real series.
And you never meet Bettina's Adonis son.
Yeah, I think, but like you were saying, that she's just a bit more of a toff, like Adrienne is a bit posher than Eddie. But it feels like they took Adriana into a lab and they separated her into two, and part of her became Patsy and part of her became Eddie. She's sort of like an amalgamation of both of them.
She's like a hybrid.
For sure. I don't think she works so well on her own.
She needs someone to bounce off of.
And she seems a bit mean because she calls Safi a bitch.
A bitch! Well. I know! She's going, bitch!
Really, bitch. Like, really hard.
Yeah, we don't ever hear that again in that way. Because then, it's always Patsy who gets to call Saf a bitch in the series, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you notice when Eddie first, or I'm not going to call her Adriana, I'm going to call her Eddie. When she first comes into the room and Soul to Soul is playing in the background, she's like swishing around in this gold like robes that she's got. And she says that she got it from Humphrey in Morocco.
From Morocco.
Yeah. Oh,
so there is Humphrey.
That. Yeah. So that foreshadows the season two episode, Morocco.
Humphrey,
yeah.
What do you think of this? Humphrey bought it for me from Morocco.
Humphrey is here.
And they've totally, like, they've nailed the fashion. I feel
like the bum bags there.
Eddie, yeah.
The bum bag, the mirrored Indian cap. It's like one of those, it's got like the little beads and mirrors on it.
It's like something you would buy at the bazaar in Marrakesh.
Marrakesh, for sure. And the Rolex watch she talks about. When have you ever heard? That was weird.
Rolex.
It is weird.
Weird. That was weird.
Give me my Rolex. Give me my Rolex. It's
I never said you could borrow that. And it's just, I don't feel like why would Safi ever want to borrow the Rolex?
I know.
Yeah.
Unless she wanted to like time some chemical reaction or something. It was the closest thing to hand.
As for the way she treats Safi, she really kind of wants her to be part of her life, like inviting her to Greece, inviting her to Champneys. These are the things as well with the mother-daughter relationship you see later on. That doesn't happen because the Patsy character...
Come down and have a joint with us.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's the first line. Come down and have a joint with us.
I guess in the one... Because it was one skit, one scene, they've got to get everything in there, which is to tell you that she is downstairs smoking a joint with her mates without her actually walking into the room holding it. Did you notice some of the other little... I don't really want to call them Easter eggs because these would have foreshadowed what happened in the series, but things that then came true in the series where Eddie says about her dad having died, she said, oh, you know, my father died. That becomes an episode in season two.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Whatever references you got there.
Veronica says we should get a Filipino because they work like buggers and cost flap all.
Well, there's the bit when Eddie goes about... Should we get some staff? Should we get some help?
And she goes, get a Filipino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Filipino joke.
She goes, well, you can be a socialist and have staff, sweetie.
What is it
she says? I don't know if she says sweetie.
It is possible to be a socialist and have staff, you know, darling.
You can be a socialist and have staff, you know, sweetie.
We should get a Filipino because they work like buggers and cost flap all. They toned it down a bit for the series. We'd get a couple of Filipinos in.
It's funny. But they pack a lot into that sketch that does make it into the show.
They really do. There's a lot.
When she says about going to Greece to Saffron, and then she says, is it because you don't want to be seen in a swimsuit? Although that line isn't used as a joke, there is the bit in Marrakesh where Safi's like funny about being seen in a swimming costume.
Yeah.
And it's not because she's fat, because obviously Julius Wilder's got a wicked little bod, but it's still the same sort of idea. Why are you laughing?
Nothing, no, just a wicked little bod.
The other line I noticed was where she says, where Adina's saying to Saffron, oh, you're so clever, you know where the coffee is and everything like that. Like, that becomes a whole skit, doesn't it, in episode one in fashion when she wants Saf to make her a coffee. So there's a lot in there packed into this one skit that actually gets fleshed out big time into season one and beyond season two as well. So it's a funny scene. It's got the DNA of Ab Fab, but it's bizarro world version or another universe.
It was definitely refined for the series. Nice. Can you imagine if we were sitting here doing this podcast talking about Adriana?
But it's fun to look back at.
Really fun to look back at.
Yeah, I liked it. I'd never seen it before.
Talking of looking back, there are a few things we skipped over in episodes 1-6. It might be fun to have a look at. But before we do that, shall we pop a bottle of champagne?
It
might take me a while. I've got to go to the kitchen.
Peter's just literally spinning around, his fridge is there.
So this week we decided we would all go out and get the same bottle of champagne so that we can have the same tasting experience as Peter. We didn't quite manage it because we got two slightly different variations of Moët and Chandon, but we are both drinking Moët and Chandon.
Oh, what year are you on?
They didn't have any normal Moët, so we got the Grand Vintage
2012.
And Pete, you're with the classic Moët Chandon.
Yeah.
Oh, this smells so good.
Delicious. Pete. Cheers, Pete.
Cheers.
That's delicious. That's really nice.
Yeah, it is really good.
Do you think so?
It drinks quite nicely.
That's nice. That's like cakey to me. It's like brioche and...
Fantastique.
Now we've got a glass of champagne in hand. Shall we have a quick look back at episode one, fashion?
Why, let's.
There was a bit in fashion that I noticed.
Someone does your hair, someone chooses what you wear, someone does your brain.
That bit, someone does your brain. What does she really mean by that?
Well, someone
telling her how to think.
When you ring Shikani, he does your brain.
That same bit where just shortly after when she says, and then once a week someone comes and flushes it all out of you. And it's just that little rant that Eddie goes on about.
Some boring old, normal old toilet goer.
He's like, oh, where's mummy?
She's on the toilet.
Peter, didn't you get colonic irrigation with one of our lot once?
Oh yeah, we got a grip on.
That's so ratchet. God.
We got a grip on and we went to get it done. It was weird. I mean, that was years ago. I would love to get it done again.
Was it with mint?
Oh yeah, it was fully with mint. It was fresh.
So
we went and we had to go in one at a time, and I
Did they not connect the tube to each of you at the same time when you were both trying to push?
Push the feet to Shiki's castle, like a challenge.
There is a bit in the ISO Tank episode. We all know that episode 4, ISO Tank, is a dream sequence, right? And in the dream, we've got this character, one of Safi's mates, called Danny, who's like the heartthrob character that everyone fancies. And Eddie and Patsy are both making eyes and making, you know, suggestive looks and come-ons to Danny.
Hello, Daniel.
Danny, hello.
As Patsy follows Danny up the stairs, or as Danny just walks past to go up the stairs, look what it says in the subtitles.
Bye, Pats.
Patsy purrs.
Patsy purrs. As he walks past her, she goes...
She's horned really up to the girls.
Yeah.
Because she's got her back to the camera, yeah. So you would just miss it. But actually, as he walks past, Patsy's like...
She's such a horn bag.
I love that, Patsy purrs. So there's something you might be able to shine a little light on in episode 3, probably. Which is... It's a little out of my area of expertise, so I'm going to ask you something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's exactly that.
What's the action you're doing, Peter, over there?
Kisses.
It wasn't kisses.
Chairman.
So after the lights go out in their little chateau in France where they're staying, and then Pat says to Eddie, you just need a joint and you'll be all right. And then they realise neither of them have got a joint. And Pat says,
I've only got some coke. I've got some ecstasy.
I've got some coke. I've got some ecstasy. Would that, it wouldn't work in that situation?
Well, a joint relaxes you.
A joint would be great. But if you were going to start doing ecstasy with the lights off, using just a candle and have some coke and ecstasy, you're in for a bad time, I think, because there's no visual stimulus in that shadow.
Yeah,
I think you'd be a bit antsy. It's only you two. There's no one else to kind of feed off. It's just her and Patsy.
It's no music.
And then Patsy goes, I'm going to bed. So imagine if Eddie did do the coke and the ecstasy, and then Patsy went to bed in that cottage, and then that old man would probably knock at the door, and it would just all get a bit weird. So no, I don't think she has the right things. But we know that coke's no good anyway.
Okay.
I don't recommend it, but I would probably say no.
They needed some of those edibles.
The edible.
Maybe I'll cut in some of those scenes of us when we've taken the edibles in Palm Springs in with the scenes of Patsy and Eddie in the bathroom floor giggling like a pair of idiots.
Yeah.
That would be funny. Because that's what we were like. Yeah. A pack of idiots. Giggling idiots.
I love that video. I watched it about 20 times when you sent it the other couple weeks
I'll
ago.
Do it. I wanted to try this time.
I know what he's going to do.
He did a quiz.
Yeah.
It's not really a quiz. It's just a quick fire French vocab round. See if you are any better at the words that Eddie and Patsy struggled with in episode 3.
Bread. Pain from bakery. Panerie.
Masse mangerie.
No, not from the jartable from the grocery.
Quick fire. Bread.
Pan.
Yes. Bakery.
Boulangerie.
Got it. Boulangerie.
Boulangerie. I knew that one.
Vegetables.
Oh, I don't know.
I feel... Legume.
Legume.
I was going to say legumes.
You should have said it then. Grocery.
Magasin. No, that's shop. What's the first letter?
E.
E?
Epicerie.
Don't know.
Say again.
Perfume.
Some of the carry.
Perfume. I can't say it.
Oh.
Perfume.
Parfum.
Parfum.
Rubbish.
Poubelle.
Peanuts.
Oh, I can't.
Oh.
Cacahuète.
I've got a.
Cacahuète,
girl.
My caca is wet.
Oh, my caca's wet.
And finally, what are you doing here?
Oh, qu'est-ce que c'est fantasy?
Qu'est-ce que tu fantasy?
You know, in episode 4, when Eddie and Patsy are hitting on Danny, and it's like he's Saf's mate and Eddie and Patsy are hitting on him. Do you know what that actually reminded me of afterwards? You know when Patsy's mum is like, you know, you could clear off because I don't need the competition around. It was like that. Like Pat's then is hitting on Saf's mate. Like, you know.
She turned into her mother.
Yeah, predator.
Generational. It's in their DNA. Yeah.
And the purr. She's up for it. Patsy's pussy's purring.
Patsy's purr.
That's
making my caca wet.
So there's a bit in this episode where they eventually get to Eddie's office and they have a quick flick through the magazines. Pats goes, oh, should we have a look through, what is it, Hello and the Enquirer?
Well, should we have a bitch through Hello magazine and the Enquirer?
Patsy slags off a few of the people in there.
All that money and she's still got a moustache. Oh, sweetie, one more facelift on this one and she'll have a beard. Darling, why do we think Priscilla Presley wears gloves? Liver spot, sweetie.
She's basically reading... in the hat.
The library is open.
And Pats is reading the girls who are in the magazine.
Bill.
Like the intonation and the way she does it. So yeah. I thought it might be fun if I popped my glasses on now and declared that the library for Wheels on Fire is open.
I can't wait to see how this turns out.
Adina Monsoon Creative Company. What a joke. The best thing you ever created was your daughter Saffron, and she looks like shit.
That's just nasty.
That's reading.
Because reading is what?
Patsy Stone. Patsy Stonehenge. She's so bloody old.
Eurydice, Colette, Clytemnestra, Dido, Bathsheba, Rabelais, Patricia, Cocteau, Stone. With a name like that, it's no wonder everyone just calls you slag.
Safi, you should take that molecule model and shove it up your puss because it's the only DNA you'll get inside you.
Saffron Monsoon, you bloody torturer. Quite big tits for a university challenge reject. I didn't know DNA stood for daughter nobody asked for. Miss Cooper, you claim to be the funny one of the group, but your jokes are all like Justin. They need propping up. Miss Peter, with your boycott Beyonce jumper, you think you're so fashion, but it looks like you've been buying your clothes at the Children's Hospice.
And that shit. The Children's Hospice.
I sometimes think when you watch Drag Race and they do the reading challenges or they do the jokes or anything and they try and make someone look bad or they're trying to make someone look good, the laugh track determines whether you find it funny or not.
Oh, 100%.
If they put a big laugh track and a big da-da, you're like, ha ha ha. But if they put a wah-wah, you go, well, that's not funny. You sort of believe then that it wasn't funny.
The shame.
Oh, totally. Yeah, the producers totally tell you what to think in that show, for sure.
They tell your brain, work your brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone does your brain.
Someone does your brain. When they do the shade rattle, that's doing your brain.
In episode 4, when they get in the flashback where they get called into the headmistress's office.
Revolting devil children!
Over Tony's shoulder, look what's on the wall. It's quite dark.
A skull, syphilis. Does it say syphilis kills?
It's a poster of a skull. And it says syphilis. It's quite...
Like, I never noticed that before.
Syphilis kills.
It's like syphilis. A syphilis. Yeah, look. They should...
Oh, yeah, look.
Syphilis. Willkommen back und bienvenue.
Where are we? Because it's getting a little bit over the place, yeah.
Yeah, no, I have no further notes. That was everything I noted from season one that I wanted to just kind of look back at and touch on.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we go and finish off our first season proper, we thought it would be fun to just look at a couple of the wonderful 5-star reviews that we've got on Apple Podcast.
That would be brilliant.
And it's so sweet that people have left such nice reviews. Like, yeah. We haven't really mentioned it too much to be like, please leave us a review. But the reviews do help the pod grow. People see it. It helps push the podcast up the ratings on Apple and means there's more chance that more people are going to listen to it. So we appreciate every review.
There's so many lovely ones. So this one is from Skin Queasy. I love watching Absolutely Fabulous when I was growing up, and it's something that I can pop in the background. So to have a group of really funny guys review it with completely contrasting takes on it, well, I'm in heaven. Can't wait for the rest of the season one to be released. Well, you're lucky, it's all out there now. 10 out of 10. Ooh, and that Irish accent. 15 out of 10 just for that. See, this is the thing. Ooh, Peter, people have messaged us and they've really, really liked your accent.
It's quite nice when someone like compliments you on something that you don't even need to try at.
Yeah, and you haven't got that accent.
That's how I feel about my looks.
Yeah.
Really?
Do you?
Do you? Do you? Have I?
So another lovely review we got was from Gogo West, and they said, I watched and enjoyed the show as a casual rather than hardcore fan through the years. Leon, Cooper and Peter have struck a brilliantly witty rapport with the listener, highlighting previously unobserved facts and reflection points, which have made me want to go back and watch this. What I also loved is the recognition that the show is as a timeless classic, which brings new meaning, watching at the different stages of life. I never took Absolutely Fabulous as a serious piece of writing before, but actually, when you unpack it, it's right up there with the rest of the well-written comedy classics. Well done, boys.
And I really like that one because it recognises what we have tried to recognise in the show in looking back at it. Like, it wasn't just a funny throwaway moment of BBC comedy. It's like such a good, well-written, well-acted piece of theatre, really, like comedy theatre. Yep. And I think when we've gone back to it over these last few months and watched the episodes again, we've really like picked bits out where we're like, that is so funny.
Yeah, and it's good.
You know,
and that's, and yeah, and they mentioned being like a casual viewer, which totally was what I was, and I never had appreciated how good it was. And I was just talking to my friend Penelope earlier on the phone, and she also said that she's been rewatching it since the podcast came out, and she's realized that it's actually like such a brilliantly written show.
She left us a lovely review.
Oh, she's lovely.
As well as all of the amazing Apple Podcast feedback, we've had so much love and support from our friends across the pond, Mike and Matinga,
the homework boys.
Yes, the homework boys. And now the Fire Jacote boys as well.
Our favourite Star Trek podcast. Yeah. You need to go and listen to that. If you like some queer banter when you look at your Star Trek favourites, Janeway and crew, we highly recommend Fire Jacote.
It's really actually really quite good. It's very fun, very camp. And our other sister pod, podcast Bear With Me.
Well, Bear With Me podcasts have been big supporters of us and our podcast, and they've given us a lot of shout outs. We want to send a big thank you to Podcast Bear With Me. We love you. The podcast is great. If you like some Scottish bear banter, possibly a bit more risque.
It's R-rated.
If you are a Patsy and Eddie fan, I'm sure you can handle it. Check out Podcast Bear With Me. And for your queer cunty Star Trek, check out Fire Chakotay. Whoop whoop to that, and whoop, cheers whoop to that to the three of you. I've loved recording season one of Wheels on Fire, and here is to season two. Cheers, Pete. Cheers, Cooper.
Cheers. I really hope we can do it in person.
I'm sure we will. But until then, you can follow us on social media. We are on at Wheels on Fire Pod on Instagram. And if you don't know, then you need to know that with every episode, we post a series of stories that tie into our discussion of the episode. And if you miss those stories when they go up, you'll find them on our Instagram highlights. So one highlight for every episode. Check those out. Peter does an amazing job of those.
He really does. And we've launched our emojis. Our little gorgeous little memojis.
So cute.
They are absolutely cute. And everyone's got a memoji. And as we go through the series, I'm sure we're going to introduce more of the memojis. You see Safi's.
So on that note, I'm going to pick up my glass one more time and say I will see you in season two.
Cheers, sweetie.
Thanks, darling.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.
It's a revival.